Thanks, Jen. Abby makes that bucket look pretty light when she carries it. I thought so. Well, good morning to each of you. It's good to be together again this morning, and you've gotten a little pointer to where we're headed. This is our last sermon in the series that we've opened the new year with, which is a kind of a getting started series. We looked at a number of different topics that we might want to reevaluate or reexamine as we start into the new year. And this is the last one in that series because next Sunday, as Andrew was suggesting to us, it will be the first Sunday of the Lent season. We'll have six Sundays in Lent before Easter. So I think Easter comes a little bit earlier this year, and so it feels like that's coming upon us quickly. But today I want to look at with you this question of what impact do our phones have on our following of Jesus? And maybe if you saw the sermon title, you thought, well, how in the world is he going to preach a sermon about that? Well, you have to stay tuned. See how we do with this. But I realized that as time goes on, more and more of us are carrying these. More older folks are carrying them. And if my reading is correct, children are getting them at younger ages on average than used to. And so more and more of us are carrying them. And I've been reading more recently about how people are doing research into how our phones are impacting us. Writing about the impact on our brains, impact on our habits, impact on society in general. And it seems to me that it might be helpful for us. I mean, that's interesting literature to read, and I commend it to you. But I think it's helpful for us to stop and think, are there ways in which the way we use these phones, these devices, is impacting our ability to follow Jesus or the way that we follow Jesus? And so that's really my focus this morning. So really what I want to do is give you some things to think about, give you some ideas or some tools that you might use to evaluate the hold that your phone has on you, or maybe just more broadly the impact that it's having on our lives. So what I'd like to do is just give us some big picture reminders of our goals as followers of Jesus, and then give you some benefits and challenges connected, I think, that our phones present to where we're headed. I didn't bring a bulletin up here with me, but on the front of your bulletin, there's a phrase that we have been using for some time. It's on the homepage of our website that summarizes in a big picture way what our goals are as a faith community. And there's three things listed there: enjoying God. I think the second was loving each other, and then blessing our communities. Well, that's a really helpful shorthand for what we're trying to do more broadly, both as individuals and as a congregation. We need some of these shorthands because as we think about something like the cell phones or something specific like this, because the Bible doesn't mention phones or cell phones anywhere. The Bible was written and finalized well before phones came along, and so it's an area like some others where we need to apply wisdom and discernment. We need to understand how would we evaluate this? How would we think this through? So one of the ways might be to look at this shorthand of enjoying God, loving each other, blessing our communities. Does this have anything to do with our ability or capacity to do that? Another goal that we sometimes talk about is being transformed to be more like Jesus as a big picture goal for who we are, what we're about as followers of Jesus. Another one might be to see the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. From Galatians 5, love, joy, peace, and the list there. Are as followers of Jesus, are we seeing those fruit develop and grow in our lives? Another goal might be to see our relationships transformed in constructive ways. And we've talked about this several weeks ago, to see our relationships transformed, not just in constructive ways, but in ways that have a kingdom of God impact on the world around us. I want to read two scriptures for you that remind us of some of what I just talked about. We've looked at them in recent sermons, so they'll be familiar to you. But the first one is in Romans 12. Audrey read this for us when she was talking about a posture in decision making, but I think it also applies to more generally as well. So Paul says in Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Verse 2 says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So as followers of Jesus, we don't automatically conform to the pattern of living and thinking that's around us. But Paul says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. We'll have a better sense of what God's purpose is or God's will is if our minds are being transformed by his work in our lives. We'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Paul goes on to say, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you." Verse 2 there in the New Living Translation reads, "Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world." Or we might say, don't unthinkingly copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The second passage I want to read is the one that Jen pointed to just a moment ago in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, starting in verse 6, where Paul says, "Do not be anxious about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." I think what he's saying here is have your communication with God be on a flow basis, on an ongoing basis, so that you don't need to be anxious about anything. But when you encounter a difficult situation, you're in the habit of turning to God. And then he says in verse 7, "And the peace of God," when you do that, "the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. And the peace of God will be with you." So the question I'm asking this morning is, do our phones, do our devices help us to live in these ways or not? Do they help us do a better job of living in these ways, of following Jesus or not? Well, I want to suggest to you that they do both, that they help us and they get in the way sometimes. And I just want to walk you through why I say that. I mean, the reasons that many of us have these in our pockets probably sitting here this morning is that they help us. There are some tremendous advantages that come with having these phones. They give us, for instance, access to a tremendous amount of information. You have access to the internet, you can get text messages from people, you have photos, you can all kinds of information that's at your fingertips. I just this week heard somebody say that that education in this age needs to shift from acquiring information to knowing how to get information. Because so much information is accessible to us that the really key skill is knowing where to go or how to get the information we want. It's not so much having it all within us. But one of the ways that our phones can help us in that regard as followers of Jesus is that you can load, and many of you have the Bible loaded on your phone, so that you can read the Bible any place you have your phone with you, you can read that. Many of you are also subscribed to a devotional plan. And there are many that are specific to Lent, where you can get a daily stream of devotional reminders. Oh yeah, that's right, I wanted to do this, here's my reminder. Whether it's reading the Bible, praying, whether it's fasting, whatever those goals might be, your phone can help you do that. And there's some wonderful content that has been developed for that. Another advantage is keeping track of information. I know a number of us use our phones to keep track of notes that we want to take or receipts that you have or your schedule can be remind you that, oh yeah, I committed to getting together with so-and-so. I'm going to meet them. It's also mostly impossible to get lost. Not entirely, but mostly impossible to get lost if you have a cell phone. It also helps you stay in touch with other people, to communicate with them. I mean, you have instant access to hundreds of people because you carry that phone with you. And I know some of us use that to send out a prayer request or if you need help. I remember one time a number of years ago, I visited somebody in the hospital, and I don't do this often, but I managed to lock my keys in my car. But thankfully, I had my phone in my pocket so I could call and get help and somebody could come and pick me up. I know I've heard stories of you doing the same thing. But you can get a ride. Also, there are people who go to the hospital, and we stay in touch with them because they update their status from their hospital bed. Well, that's a unique window into the experience that we didn't have before. You can get Facebook posts or text messages from somebody who's in their hospital bed. You can set up meetings, you can pay bills, give money, and we're rarely bored. I just read somewhere this week, somebody says, you can't be bored anymore. although I think some of us manage to be. But you can't be bored because you have instant entertainment at your fingertips, including videos, movies, games, podcasts. I'm a big podcast fan. Those are some of the advantages and many of the reasons why we carry them with us. But it, as you know, it's also a mixed bag. One author I read this week said that my phone is a window into the worthless and the worthy, into the artificial and the authentic. Some days I feel as if my phone is a digital vampire, sucking away my time and my life. Other times I feel like I'm part human and part digital as my phone and I blend together seamlessly. Maybe you know what he's talking about. So those are some of the advantages. I think our phones also present us with challenges, and I only have time to highlight three of them with you today. If you want to pursue this further, there's a sheet in the bulletin where I've listed some other resources, and one of the ones I'm going to draw from today is the one that at the top there. It says, 12 Ways Your Phone is Changing You. That's a really helpful, interesting book. There's some other resources there if you want to pursue this more fully. So I just want to highlight three of them with you and just invite you to listen to them and to consider whether or not the Holy Spirit is talking to you on any of these points and something that you should be paying attention to more fully. The first one is that we fear missing out. We fear missing out, and there's actually a new acronym that maybe you've seen but didn't know what it means. FOMO, fear of missing out. It's a thing. It comes to us with our phones. Our phones are reducing our attention spans, they're increasing our distractions, and they also increase this anxiety, this sense that I might be missing something, increasing our fear of missing out. Your attention span is the amount of time that you can concentrate on a task without being distracted. And researchers tell us that is shrinking, that our attention span is shrinking. So for instance, think about this. How long can you stand in a grocery line or a line at the store before your phone comes out? How long can you wait at a traffic light? I hope a long time, before your phone comes out. But I have to confess there are times where I'm trying to communicate with somebody and I'm glad for a red light because I can, you know, stop and do a brief update. How long can you wait for a bagel to pop up out of your toaster before your phone comes out? Or how long can you wait at a doctor's office or a dentist's office? That's a little more challenging, maybe, before your phone comes out. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying that our attention span, our ability to sit and wait, has been shrinking. A 2015 study in the U.S. found that people between the ages of 18 and 24 in 2015 checked their phones an average of 74 times a day. If I did the math right on about a 16-hour day, that means you're checking your phone about every 13 minutes. Probably what that means is, you know, periods of time where you're checking it frequently and then other times where you're doing other things. But the average across all ages in this study was 46 times a day. So we're checking our phones quite frequently. But partly it's because there's a sense that something's happening out there, something interesting or exciting, and I don't want to miss it. On my phone, what happens is I get this little white light that blinks at me. I have it turned off, but this little white light, and if I see it, I'm in trouble because it's saying there's something you need to attend to, and I have to turn it face down sometimes if I don't want to be distracted by my phone and that little blinking white light. But you and I navigate a steady stream of information, a steady stream of information that comes to us through our phones, through our televisions, and other ways of news cycles, political forecasts, economic forecasts, weather forecasts, commentary on all of the above, sports highlights, commentary on all of that, viral videos, entertainment, gossip. There's just such a tidal wave, such a deluge of information that it becomes hard to tell what's important. You can't really stop and evaluate it very well if it's just constantly just flooding in. But we keep checking our phones because we don't want to miss any of it. We fear missing out. You know, in my study this week, one of the things I discovered is that one of the parts of the curses that God warned the children of Israel about had to do with this very thing. It's in Deuteronomy 28. Moses is listing in Deuteronomy both the blessings that will come to the people if they keep the covenant and the curses that will come to them if they don't. And he lists all these terrible things, plagues, disasters, illness, exile. One of the worst ones is exile. But then he says in verse 65 of Deuteronomy 28, he says, among those nations, in other words, among the nations to which I will send you in exile, you will find no repose or no rest. You will find no resting place for the sole of your foot. There the Lord will give you an anxious mind, eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. Doesn't that sound awful? And yet, don't we find ourselves in that very spot sometimes? With an anxious mind, with eyes weary with longing, and a despairing heart. God says, Moses says to the people, you will live in constant suspense, filled with dread both night and day, never sure of your life. In the morning you will say, if only it was evening, and in the evening you will say, if only it were morning, because of the terror that will fill your hearts and the sights your eyes will see. Now that's not exactly our experience in handling our cell phones, perhaps, because you may not fear for your life. It's not connected to that, perhaps. But you should know that God doesn't mean for you to live with an anxious mind, with eyes that are weary with longing, and with a despairing heart. Nor for you to live in constant suspense. That was part of a curse that he warned his people about. He means for you and me to live out what we read from Philippians 4, where Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but be in ongoing communication with God so that you can turn to God at any time, and that his peace, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so the first one is fear of missing out. The second one is we become more self-absorbed. We become more self-absorbed. Sort of a temptation to invite people to look at me, to notice me, and to like me, or at least like my posts. That can be quite a problem that people get sucked into, wanting to like their posts. Well, we'll get to that guy in just a second. Well, anyway, this is a picture I found, and I understand this is the Queen of England, if you don't recognize her. And I understand she's actually started to complain about people who do this because she feels like people are sort of sticking out, jumping out in front of her. But my question for you is the picture this guy's taking more about her or about him? I get it. You know, probably he's never going to see her again in his lifetime, and so he wants to capture this moment. But that's the question I had, is this moment more about him, or is it more about where he was and who he was with? Now, I want to be careful here. You could take that away. That's going to be pretty distracting, I'm afraid. Thank you. I want to be careful here because I'm not really a grumpy person about this, because I know that part of social media is staying in touch with other people, and part of it is the fun of sharing the things with other people that you enjoy and things that are important to you. But I do want to suggest that if you can't ever simply enjoy an experience for what it is without taking a picture of it or without taking a picture of yourself, like, you know, here I am preaching this morning, you know, let me get this on my Facebook page. You know, look at all these people listening to me, you know. If you can't be in the moment most of the time, your phone may be increasing your fascination with yourself. It may be increasing or feeding your self-absorption. And there's a pressure that's built into that. It's sort of a constant worry about the impression I'm leaving, the impression I'm making. And we become actors to some extent, living out a kind of a performance. We do enough of that anyway. In our regular lives, we don't need these things to make that worse. Just something for you to think about. And this might be something to ask a trusted friend about, to say, do you see this in me? Is this something that's happening to me? Remember what we read just a moment ago from Romans 12. Paul says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment. For this morning, we might say, don't think of yourself more often or more, don't be more self-absorbed than you ought. That would show up in other verses as well. But social media tempt us to focus on our image, on how we look, tempt us to overstate our triumphs and understate our failures. Some people post their struggles and failures online, But by and large, the portrait we get of people's lives is a more sort of a polished, edited, more positive version. And all I want to urge you this morning is that make sure your online presence is mostly connecting you to real flesh and blood people, people who know you in the real world and who have some sense of the reality of your life, the strengths, the challenges as well as the strengths. I think it's a wonderful way to stay in touch with people who really know you. Which leads me to the third challenge I want to highlight for you, and that is that we ignore real people. It tempts us to ignore real people in the world around us. And one of the ironies that researchers are finding is that people who are heavily spending a lot of time on social media end up feeling lonelier. One person talks about the false intimacy of Facebook. Just something to think about. I think this is a particular challenge because one of the themes of salvation history is God's desire to be present with us. God's desire to be fully present with his people. And a related theme is God's call to us to be fully present to each other, to be in real world relationships with each other. I mean, our love for each other, our relationship with each other is meant to be one of the models, one of the ways people can see how the kingdom of God works, one of the main ways. So I want to suggest to you that it does matter if the technologies that we use interfere with our awareness of God's presence, or if they interfere with our ability to be fully present with God, or our ability to be fully present with other people. It matters if our technologies are making those things more difficult, because we are wired for loving, constructive, intimate relationships with real people. That's what we're designed for. Loving, constructive, intimate relationships with God and with each other. And in the absence of that, our soul, something about our inner being, is just not at peace and not satisfied. So again, the question is your phone helping or hurting you in that quest? Now, this is not a completely new problem. I have another photo I want to show you here. Maybe you've seen this before, where it used to be that we were absorbed with our newspapers, and maybe you know somebody in your family, grandpa, who just, you know, you couldn't talk to him because his nose was in the newspaper, and today we just do that with our phones. But I do want to suggest to you that you get to the end of a newspaper, right? You get to a point where you're done reading the newspaper, but there's no end to what you might want to do on your phone, right? I mean, you could just continually scroll to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. So there's a little bit of a difference there, but the problem isn't completely new. On the other hand, when we are physically together, our phones can distract us enough that, let's look at the next picture. I'm sure you've seen this, right? Where we're sort of together, and maybe there was a conversation before this, but at other times we're just all distracted by this phone that we have. They draw us in. I'm guessing that you have at least now and then looked up from your phone, whether it's, you know, Facebook or Candy Crush or some other favorite app that just needs your attention, and realized that, my goodness, an hour went by. That's happened to me. More time went by. All right, I gotta put this down and get ready because I'm supposed to be somewhere. Just a reminder that when we do that, we're trading in real interaction with real people in many cases for what I called earlier, the false intimacy of Facebook, or sometimes for more points or tools or levels or exploding stars on a game screen, all of which would just go poof if you deleted that app, right? You could spend all these hours at that, and then it might just disappear. And yet, you might end up hungering for closer relationships or for close relationships. This is one of the reasons that pornography is so harmful. It's enticing and exciting. It draws you in, but it will never satisfy you because it's not real, and it doesn't lead to what I talked about before, a loving, constructive, intimate relationship with a real person. You end up feeling more isolated and alone than before you started. And that's true with a number of these digital connections that we have. I want to give you, so those are the three challenges I wanted to highlight with you today. And as I said, in the insert, there's some resources there that you can explore if you want to look at this more deeply. The second book there, The TechWise Family, then apologies, but the three other resources are digital, so I know that's where we'll go for information anyway. But there are blog entries and articles in these other three websites. Interestingly enough, on the NetNanny blog, there's one up there right now that I thought was interesting. The title I saw said, Are Our Family's Cell Phones Addicting, or something like that? And when I clicked on it, I thought, well, this might be interesting. It turns out it's a four-question little survey that a parent can take with their children to see if the kids feel like mom or dad's cell phone is interfering with their availability, with the parents' availability. We often think about children being drawn in and addicted, but the questions there were for parents to say, is this getting in the way of my ability to be fully present with my children? On the back of this green sheet, I also listed, we compiled some suggestions for limiting your phone's hold on you. I'm not going to read through all of them. They're all terrific to consider, but they may not all apply to you. Just going to highlight a few of them. First one, letter A, ask someone who knows you well whether they think you are addicted to or driven by your phone or by being online. That's probably something we should all do after today. something to to consider. Dropping down there to D and E, start your day with some combination of exercise and Bible reading or other reading, prayer, silence, breakfast, and only look at your phone after completing those things. And some of you have no choice because you have young children, and so it's hard to manage many of those things, but do get your day started. Consider getting your day started without your phone. E, agree on a no phones at the table standard for household meals. Whoever you live with, whoever you have shared meals with, agree to a no phones at the table standard, and that no one leaves the table to get their phone unless there's a true emergency unfolding where somebody's bleeding or somebody's dying or something like that. That's a true emergency. In case you were wondering. Not did I hear back from so-and-so. Did they like my Facebook post? That doesn't count. H and I are two options. Occasionally do a digital detox. Maybe for putting your phone or internet access aside for 1 hour a day, or maybe 1 day a week, and 1 week a year. Some of you are, the blood's draining from your face as you read that, contemplating that. One person I read said that they ended up deciding to just take social media off their phone entirely. The last one, though, I think is maybe more helpful as an antidote. And that is, develop a non-electronic hobby that takes time and concentration and that engages your body so that you and leave your phone out of distraction range in another room or somewhere else when you're doing this. Things like gardening that takes time, because when you plant something, you can't just push a button and have it grow, right? You have to wait for it. You have to be patient with it. You have to take care of those plants. Maybe it's biking or some other amateur sport activity, reading, sewing or cooking, woodworking, or playing a musical instrument, developing something that's non-electronic that helps you to kind of get back into the real world and connect with real world concerns. So that was the question I wanted to invite you to think about. And again, I think these are like many of the things we've talked about the last few weeks, things to hold in prayer before the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, is there something for me here? Are you speaking to me in some way in my life? Like we've been talking about prayer, about giving, about decision making, about the basic commitment to follow Christ. And I'd invite you to approach this in the same way. Prayerfully consider this and say, Holy Spirit, is there something for me here? Or ask a trusted friend to give some outside perspective on our habits here, because I really do think that some of these challenges do impact the way we follow Jesus. Let me invite him to do this work among us, and the worship team can rejoin us as I do this. Lord, I thank you for the wisdom that you give us. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the ways that you transform our minds so that we can think your thoughts after you, that our thinking and our decision-making, our discernment can be guided by your presence and by your word, by your leading. Lord, we want to be a people who are following you faithfully, following you joyfully, and whose lives flow from a profound and centered in a profound commitment to following you. And I pray, Lord, that you would bring to mind for us any areas in which we need to make some adjustments in this area that we've been talking about this morning and interacting with our phones. Lord, I pray that you would give us courage and insight to know where you're speaking and give us the courage to follow when you ask us to take a new step. Lord, we yield our hearts once again to you, and we invite you to reign and rule fully as Lord of our lives so that we can reflect you and invite other people to join us as we follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.